UTIs are the worst. I've been there. One year, I had 8 UTIs. If you get UTIs, then you understand how awful the cycle can be. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products, they just never worked for me. I was desperate for a way to be proactive. It was hard on me and on my husband.
It was tough to see her in pain, and I wanted to help.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Spencer.
With Spencer's background in biochemistry
and our shared frustration when it came to UTIs, we were inspired to start Eucora.
At Eucora, we make innovative urinary tract supplements and UTI relief products. Our effective urinary tract supplements finally give you a way to be proactive.
Feel like you've tried everything? We get it. We have a money-back guarantee so you can try risk-free. If you're not happy, you'll get a full refund.
We're on a mission to help women get their lives back. Ready to join them?
Get 30% off Eucora when you go to eucora.com/audio. That's eucora.com/audio.
Blog Talk Radio.
And now for the last number of our engagement here, presenting Buddy Rich, Ziggy Elman, Tallulah Winters, and the girls in the Hawaiian War Chant. Take it, Buddy.
Here, conservatives respected. That is not exactly the choice of Hawaiian war chant that I wanted to get for them, but it was the best one that I could find. Tommy James and Buddy Rich, the legendary Harry James, excuse me, Tommy James with the Shondells, Harry James and his orchestra with the prodigy, the one and only Buddy Rich, tearing it up on the Skins. Holy Hannah. Have things gone? It's for the last 2 weeks have been just fantastic. You know, right there on the 27th of June, right there before the 4th of July holiday, we had the great debate. Oh, by the way, James Bostic, Conservative Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. You go to blogtalkradio.com because you're already here, and then you know to type in and you just get the link. And do me a favor, spread that around if you would, please. You think you got some friends that might be interested in listening to the program, kind of like-minded. I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. What the hell? Oh, yeah, what's been going on? You know, we had the debate. It was unbelievable. And the hypocrisy has come full bloom with these people. This whole thing has gotten so tangled up, so convoluted. You guys know what a pachinko machine is? Pachinko machine? It's a Japanese version of pinball, and the ball shoots straight up into an arc, and then it comes down through a series of pegs, and you know, you don't know where it's going to bounce. You don't know which way it's going to go. It just depends based on what pin it hits descending. And this thing could go all kinds of different ways. Now, as it stands, you saw the debate, you know the deal with that, and everybody starts raising an eyebrow. And basically, the media, Hollywood, the news people, everybody, until Joe Biden started speaking to answer to answer his first question on the debate. Up until that point, until Joe opened his mouth and started talking, the media would have had us believe that this is one of the greatest political thinkers, American political thinker, since Jefferson or Adams or Madison or Monroe. Take your pick. All right. They had him in that pantheon with these people. And then, of course, then Joe starts talking. It really shouldn't be that funny with all the rhubarb that's going to be created by this. I mean, it really shouldn't be, but it is. And but we'll get back into that later. So he just terrible on the debate. And people are now starting to really truly talk about maybe we need to think about finding somebody to step in for Joe. Joe says, "Hey man, you guys forget it. It was bad lighting. Okay, that's all it was. It was That's actually what somebody says once some third tier pal of ex-pal of Melania, and he says he did great. You know, he's really smart. He's really with it. There's nothing wrong with Joe. The problem was bad lighting. The set's lighting threw him off, and he was distracted by that, and it just screwed everything up, man. So so now I won't say it's a tsunami, but we have this wave beginning to swell. And the powers that be, and in this case, with Joe Biden right now, the powers that be are a very, very limited group. It's Ron Klain, who is his chief of staff, and I think maybe one of his campaign directors. Jill Biden, of course. Hunter Biden, yes, and that's about it. The Biden family members and Ron Klain, and they're in the Biden bunker, man. They're locked up tight. And so the people that are making these decisions say, "Joe, it was an off night, slugger. Everything's going to work out. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to, and by the way, at this debate, another one of the things about this debate was set up totally for JoJo. Everything. The deck could not have been more stacked in Joe's favor than it was on CNN that night with Jake Tapper and Dana Bash and Joe Biden. Of course, you know, the three of them trying to debate Donald Trump. But I will give them credit because I did not expect it at all. They acted like the moderators, that is, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, much better than they have been in the past. Dry this evening. So everything's set up for Joe. There's no audience. There's a two-minute response, one-minute rebuttal. If you're not talking, your mic is cut off. And he still stunk up the stage. So they say, okay, Joe, don't worry about it. Here's what we'll do. We've got an interview with George Stephanopoulos. You remember Georgie over at ABC? You know, he's always liked you. And we're gonna have this interview, and there's not going to be anybody there. It's not going to be any audience. It's not going to be live. We're going to record it so that we can make sure that it looks really, really good. You know what I'm saying, sir? Okay. All right. So they do that. Last Friday, I think, and it's recorded, you know, it's all up close and edited. Thinking, again, we ought to be able to edit, if nothing else, you know, throw together something that looks, even if it's just a little bit, better than how he looked at the debate. So they come up with this thing with George Stephanopoulos. The interview itself was about 20 minutes long, and what I have that we're going to listen to represents about a quarter of the 25% of the interview. And having watched it, I can assure you that the remaining 75% is just as bad. But here's what I'm talking about.
Let's start with the debate. You and your team have said you had a bad night, but your friend Nancy Pelosi actually framed the question that I think is on the minds of millions of Americans. Was this a bad episode or the sign of a more serious condition?
It was a bad episode. No indication of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and it was a bad night.
You know, you say you were exhausted, and I know you've said that before as well, but you came, and you did have a tough month, but you came home from Europe about 11 or 12 days before the debate, spent 6 days in Camp David. Why wasn't that enough rest time, enough recovery time?
Because I was sick. I was feeling terrible. Matter of fact, the docs with me, I asked if they did a COVID test. We were trying to figure out what was wrong. They did a test to see whether or not I had some infection, you know, a virus. I didn't. I just had a really bad cold.
Did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
Well, what I want to get at is, what were you experiencing as you were going through the debate? Did you know how badly it was going?
Yeah, look, the whole way I prepared, nobody's fault but mine. I prepared what I usually would do, sitting down, as I did come back with foreign leaders or the National Security Council, for explicit detail. And I realized about partway through that, you know, all the, I get quoted, the New York Times had me down at 10 points before the debate, 9 now or whatever the hell it is. The fact of the matter is that what I looked at is that he also lied 28 times. The way the debate ran, not my fault, no one else's fault.
But it seemed like you were having trouble from the first question in, even before he spoke.
Well, I just had a bad night.
Would you be willing to undergo an independent medical evaluation that included neurological and cognitive tests and release the results to the American people?
Look, I have a cognitive test every single day. Every day I have that test. Everything I do. You know, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world. Not, and that's not how it sounds like hyperbole. But we are the essential nation in the world. Madeleine Albright was right. And every single day, for example, today, before I come out here, I'm on the phone with the Prime Minister of, anyway, I shouldn't get into detail, but...
I can't go into detail because I can't remember his name.
Do you really believe you're not behind right now?
I think it's all the pollsters I talk to tell me it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. And when I'm behind, there's only one poll I'm really far behind, CBS poll and NBC,
New York Times and NBC both have you about 6 points behind in the popular vote.
That's exactly right. New York Times had me behind before anything happened to do with this race. Had me behind 10 points. 10 points had me behind. Nothing's changed substantially in the debate in the New York Times poll.
It's been a two-man race for several months. Inflation has come down. In those last few months, he's become a convicted felon, yet you're still falling further behind.
You guys keep saying that. George, do you know polling better than anybody? Do you think polling data is accurate as it used to be?
I don't think so, but I think when you look at all of the polling data right now, it shows that he's certainly ahead in the popular vote, probably even more ahead in the battleground states. And one of the other key factors there is it shows that in many of the battleground states, the Democrats who are running for Senate and the House are doing better than you are.
Well, that's not unusual in some states. I carried an awful lot of Democrats last time I ran in 2020. Look, I remember them telling me the same thing in 2020. I can't win. The polls show I can't win. Remember 2020, the red wave was coming. Before the vote, I said, that's not going to happen. We're going to win. We did better in an off year than almost any incumbent president ever has done.
What's your plan to turn the campaign around?
Saw it today. How many people can you get and draw crowds like I drew today? You find any more enthusiastic than today? Huh?
I mean, I don't think you want to play the crowd game. Donald Trump can draw big crowds. There's no question about that.
He can draw a big crowd, but what does he say? Who does he have? I'm the guy supposedly in trouble.
Oh, my God. I'm the guy that beat Medicare. What the hell are you guys talking about? Of course I'm going to win. Okay, so it's on, and like I said, what you heard right there, those excerpts, and again, this was edited. This was recorded, and the reason they pre-recorded it was for what? Well, that was so they could have it right, so they wouldn't, you know, who knows how long it took to get 20 minutes of usable material. 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 2.5 hours. I mean, I really, you know, what? So they box up this interview, they package this thing up, and they send it out there. And the intellectually honest look at it, the way they've looked at all this stuff for 4 years, he's going. He's not going to make it, but they've got no choice. They can't, you know, have Gavin Newsom or J.B. Pritzker or any of these people come in and be their white knight, at least, you know, not without throwing the party and the convention in disarray, and they don't want to do those things. So don't worry. We've got another interview scheduled with Lester Holt coming up on Monday. Now, I'm sure it's going to be the same. Oh, and by the way, just a reminder on the debate, we heard about it from Aaron Burnett immediately after the debate. Here's a clip.
He goes through 6 days of preparation at Camp David.
More than that.
And they know the rules.
It was more than a week.
Okay, more than a week. They know the rules. He practices with the mics. He knows every one of these questions is coming.
He knows every one of these questions is coming. Now, do you think he didn't know the questions that George Stephanopoulos asked? Do you think he's not going to know the questions that Lester Holt has lined up for him? And they're all going to be softballs. Hell, they're not even going to be softballs. They're going to be T-balls. And that's still going to be kind of iffy with this cat. One more time.
He goes through 6 days of preparation at Camp David.
More than that.
And they know the rules.
It was more than a week.
Okay, more than a week. They know the rules. He practices with the mics. He knows every one of these questions is coming. And yet he couldn't fill the time. Now, I just want to, let's see what the White House is saying. Sources close to the White House are saying he had a cold, wasn't feeling well. I mean,
he had a cold. He wasn't feeling well. It was 9 days, 10 days of jet lag. The damn dog ate the first two pages of the notes. And, of course, we can't forget about the bad lighting that screwed this whole thing up. He might have gotten by on everything else, but the bad lighting was, you know, that was a bullet to the head. So in the meantime, again, to help people out and reassure them that this is a man in command, that he's hip, he knows what cooks, there's a NATO presser today with NATO and Zelensky, the de facto new member of NATO, although this is a very bad move and it's going to make a lot of trouble. Here's Joe today, this afternoon, just a couple hours ago.
Hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. We're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
Hell yeah, you are.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jerry. Oh, my God. So, you know, they're feeling good. They're coming to sing. Joe's walking tall, tottering tall. I don't know. His walk is a little different now because, you know, he's got them big, wide, like, snowshoes that help him keep balance, which I think I'm probably going to have to get a pair myself. So I'm not going to knock him too hard on that. But, you know, he's got that poopy pants walk now, and he daughters around. But like Aaron Burnett said, he knew the questions were coming. Okay, like they could not have made it any easier for this cat. I really don't. I don't think they could have. Unless Disney would have finally perfected the software on that Joe Biden animatronic droid and sent it out there, that might have been okay. But no, they didn't. So he screws up the debate. He blows that. You heard for yourself what the Stephanopoulos interview was. Lester Holt will be coming up on Monday, and that was the presser calling Zelensky Putin, calling President Zelensky as he's introducing him. Biden calls him President Putin. And this is a guy that's running the world. He said it himself. Who's going to get bigger crowds than me? Hey, man, I'm the guy that beat Medicare. God save the Queen, man. You know, the thing. I don't know, honestly, truly. I mean, I'm with them. I'm ride or die on this thing, man, I'll tell you, because I will ride with them. We will take this airplane all the way straight into the ground, and I will be there. I will be there watching. And they can't unless I don't know that they have enough time. The Democrat convention, I think, is the Republican convention's coming up here soon, and I think I may have misspoke when I talked about that last Sunday. The Republican convention is coming up July 19th to 22nd. And then the Democrat convention is somewhere along the second or third week of August. So, you know, there's about a three-week turnaround here. They don't have enough time to run through the procedure when it comes to the 25th Amendment. So that's out. Barack Obama, the Clintons, a large, well, a number, I won't say a large number, but it's becoming larger, I'm sure, a number of the seniors, the Pelosi's, the Schumer's, those kind of guys in the Democrat Party, they've been privately worried for a while. And now that it's become obvious, you know, the cat's out of the bag, man. There's no other way to say it. People who have really probably tried to work really, really hard at not being interested in all this are starting to become aware. He's got to go. There's, you know, and that's all the Democrats are thinking. They're not going to say it much. There have been a few calling for him to step down and remove himself from the process. As a whole, the party is going to back this guy until he decides he doesn't want to do it. He's not going to back down or step off of it until it's become just so obvious. Last couple of weeks, I talked about the lust for power, the constant cultivating and acquiring and maintaining power for these Washington, D.C. cats. It's muscle memory. It's like breathing. It has to be or you won't be successful at it. Robert C. Byrd, Strom Thurmond, Daniel Flood, Senator Sam Ervin, Ted Kennedy, John McCain, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, Maxwell, Mad Max. Okay, all these people were in their late 70s and 80s. And all they've done for 50 years is acquiesce, what? Power and wealth and influence. It's all they know. It's what they do. They don't stop. They don't eat. They don't sleep. They don't poop. They don't pee. They just go after money. They go after power. They go after influence. Joe Biden is no different. Joe Biden has spent 50 years enriching himself and his family and his cronies off the American taxpayer nickel. He's in the pocket of just about any imaginable tin pot third world dictator out there, and not to mention the big ones like China. Ukraine. He's not going to listen to the people in the intelligence community. He's not going to listen to the Clintons or their surrogates, Stephanopoulos being a good example. They're not going to listen to Barack Obama and his surrogates, who have already started making noise that Joe's got to go. He's going to listen to Jill. He's going to listen to Hunter. He's going to listen to Ron. He's going to listen to the family, his sister, Valerie. The Bidens hate the Obamas. The Bidens hate the Obamas because of the way the Obamas treated Joe for 8 years. They marginalized him. They looked down on him. They disrespected him. They condescended to him.
And they patronized him. They didn't treat him with any kind of juice, any kind of gravity. And the Bidens don't like the Clintons because when it was Joe's turn after the end of Barack Obama's second term, he was pushed over for Hillary Clinton. And she lost. So finally he gets his shot. The machine and the gears roll and they rack and they rumble. And what do you know? He won. The heart attack kid. He won. He won by 80 million votes. He won by more votes than Barack Obama. Okay? That's how they rigged this thing. And here's the Joe probably believes that. Why can't I win? I won by 80 million votes last time. 81 million votes. Of course I can win. These jealous bastards are trying to derail me from my destiny. What time is it? I'm sleepy. Oh gosh, 7:45. I got to get to bed, guys. Wrap this meeting. And I don't know. I don't know now. It's really weird. I don't know if he can be talked out of it. Another tie into this, Clooney. George Clooney. George Clooney writes an op-ed, okay? what's his wife's name? Amal. Yeah. She writes it. She's this international world court do-gooder lawyer. Anyway, so they write this op-ed and they send it up under Clooney's name to the New York Times, telling him that he's got to step down. And I guarantee you George Biden is going to listen to Joe Biden is going to listen to George Clooney about the same as we listen to George Clooney. 3 weeks ago, he raised $30 million for this guy out in Hollywood. Clooney hosted a fundraiser at his place. $28, $29, $30 million. Joe was sharp as a tack then, man. Joe was in the zone. But now, 2 weeks after the debate, Joe's in the friend zone, man. Put him in the forbidden zone, the neutral zone. The time is running out. The time is running out. He's not taking calls from the Obamas, the inner circle there. They're not taking calls from the Obamas. They're not taking calls from the Clintons because they're busy campaigning. They don't have time for this. Hunter is attending, convicted felon, Hunter Biden is attending more and more staff meetings and has become kind of like a de facto chief of staff for what's going on. Where are we at? Bottom of the hour. We're going to take a little break. I'm going to drink a little bit, hydrate some. I've been out on the anvil. And now I'm scrolling through. Yeah, this will be great. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to A Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at blogtalkradio.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
Each morning a missionary advertises with neon signs. He tells the native population that civilization is fine. And three educated savages holler from a bamboo tree. That civilization is the thing for me to see.
So bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo. Oh, no, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bongle, I'm so happy in the jungle I refuse to go. Don't want no bright lights, false teeth, doorbells, landlords, I make it clear
that no matter how they coax him,
I'll stay right here. I look through a magazine the missionary's wife concealed.
Magazine? What happens?
I see how people who are civilized bung you with automobiles.
You know you can get hurt that way, Daniel?
At the movies they have got to pay many coconuts to see.
What do they see, Danny?
Uncivilized pictures that the newsreel takes of me.
So, bongo, 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 he don't wanna leave the Congo. No, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bongo, he's so happy in the jungle, he refused to go.
Don't want no penthouse, bathtub, streetcars, taxis, noise in my ear.
So no matter how they coax him,
I'll stay right here.
They hurry like savages to get aboard an iron train.
The Tringalingo Hula Humble Express.
And though it's smoky and it's crowded, they're too civilized to complain.
Aloha toho sahi mahina. When they've got 2 weeks vacation, they hurry to vacation ground.
What do they do, Danny?
They swim and they fish, but that's what I do all year round.
So, bongo, 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 I don't wanna leave the Congo. No, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bongo, I'm so happy in the jungle I refuse to go.
Don't want no jailhouse,
shotgun,
fish hooks,
golf club,
I got my spear.
So no matter how they coax him,
I'll stay right here.
They have things like the autumn bomb,
so I think I'll stay where I am.
Civilization, I'll stay right here.
He goes through 6 days of preparation, a camp date.
More than that.
And they know the rules.
It was more than a week.
Okay, more than a week. They know the rules. He practices with the mics. He knows every one of these questions is coming. And yet he couldn't fill the time. Now, I just want to, let's see what the White House is saying. Sources close to the White House are saying he had a cold, wasn't feeling well. I mean, as you would expect, that came out early on in the debate. But what accounts for someone with so much experience doing so much preparation, and this being the outcome?
Honestly, I think the question answers itself. He wasn't capable of doing any better than he did.
Exactly, Chrissy Pants. That's exactly right. Aaron Burnett with Chris Wallace there, post-debate on June 27th, talking about this. He knew the questions. He knew everything. He knew what was going on, man. You couldn't get this guy briefed any better than Joe Biden had been. Now, she is upset. You know, she's in high dudgeon there, sitting up straight, clutching her pearls like everybody in the media, because they are shocked and appalled to find out that he's in this sad state. Nobody knew about this. Nobody saw it coming. They're just as surprised as we are. Well, in a remarkable exchange on Chuck Todd from NBC's Meet the Depressed podcast this week, the Toddcast, God, you know, just, you know what? I have never, I don't think ever, in any of the titles or incarnations when I was trying to figure out what to call this thing, ever use my name as part of it. Not James Bostic in a conservative perspective, or conservative's perspective starring James, or whatever. You know, none of that. Boom, that's it. Conservative, because that's all it is. Because it's just not about me. But these guys, and I understand it. I mean, it's, there's a lot of imagery in broadcasting of any type. But it's called the Toddcast. So on the Toddcast, Chuckles is talking to a guy named Jonathan Martin, and he is a wheel over at Politico. Politico, political analysis, definitely left. Left of center left. So they're talking, and Jonathan Martin admits to Chuck Todd what we have already known, what we've known for quite some time, admitted that high-level Democrats have been saying for years years that Joe Biden is in rough mental shape and not up to another term in office. They say the decline was an open secret and a simmering conversation. Only now, years after the fact, are these, and I'm using my air fingers quotes, and maybe a little old God 360 eye roll, reporters reporting this to the public. Here's the transcript. I'm going to go ahead and read it because I'm just not going to fool with these guys. This is Jonathan Martin. Chuck, I'm just skeptical Biden's ever going to drop out of the campaign, even if he has a terrible NATO press conference. That was a press conference that he had today, by the way, where he introduced President Zelensky of Ukraine as President Putin of Russia. That press conference. Okay. So even if he has a terrible press conference, and it's safe to assume it wasn't that great, the politicians in the Democrat Party have shown in the last few days that a lot of them simply don't have the courage of their convictions. They simply aren't going to stand up and say in public what they've been telling folks like us in private for years. This is not a new story. They simply aren't going to stand up and say in public what they have been telling folks like us, Chuck Todd, investigative journalist, reporter, what they've been telling us in private for years. This is not a new story. Actually, it is a new story because if you Google any of this stuff, you're never going to come up with a story that John Martin or Politico or Chuck Todd or anybody else put out years ago about Democrat Party officials being worried about Biden's mental decline. So, yeah, this is like super duper new. Because you people have been telling us all along this guy's massive presidential brain is purring right along, man, and no problems. So Chuck Todd replies, John, I'm not going to out the cabinet secretary, but I had a cabinet secretary 2 years ago, okay? 2 years ago, out of the blue, ask me, do you really think he can? He can't run again like this. And I said, this is Chuck Todd again, you have more interaction than I do. And he said, I don't have a lot of interaction with him. Now, this is a pretty senior cabinet secretary, and this was 2 years ago. This is one of those classic open secrets, a non-versation, right? It's the story everybody knows, and everybody was afraid to talk about it. What the? I wasn't afraid to talk about it. Hold on a minute. I got to hit the mute button because that just makes me. Hold on.
He goes through 6 days of preparation at Camp David.
More than that.
And they know the rules.
It was more than a week.
Okay, more than a week. They know the rules. He practices with the mics. He knows every one of these questions is coming.
Everybody was afraid to talk about it. I wasn't afraid to talk about it. I've been talking about this shit since he was campaigning in 2019. There are a lot of people who haven't been afraid to talk about it. You guys were afraid to talk about it because you were in on the con, man. Okay? You guys were in on the cover-up. You've always been in on the cover-up. And now that you've been outed in this deal, you're running around sitting up straight, clutching at your pearls, and you can't believe that this has happened. Well, you better believe it. So again, Chuckles, I bet if we Google the same thing like we do Jonathan Martin, if we Google you, we're not going to see where you were breaking this news 2 years ago. So the conversation continues starting with Jonathan Martin. Chuck, we have actually had this conversation about the nonversation last year. Todd, I know we did. You used that word referring to nonversation. Todd, yes, we've chronicled this. Look, for those who want to say the media, look, the media is as good as the sources that don't lie to us are. But you, that's not, I don't, what the hell? The media's as good as the sources that don't lie to us are. Nobody was lying to you, Chuck. They weren't lying to you. You had people telling you the truth 2 years ago. You and this Martin clown both. Okay, these people were on the level. They were telling you straight up stuff. They weren't lying, and you didn't tell us. And the conversation continues, and Jonathan Martin goes, exactly. Todd continues, and I always say that there are certain things about our job, the job of a journalist. To me, your first job as a journalist is to observe, and sometimes the most important observations are what don't happen versus what does happen. Jonathan Martin says, oh, absolutely, that dog is not barking. The dog that is not barking. But again, these are the two guys, along with everybody else, but we're just, for the purposes of our conversation here, we're just going to talk about these two idiots. These guys were the dogs that were not barking. They weren't reporting. They weren't doing journalism. That was those guys. And then they go on and they talk about how bad it's been. Todd says, that's the point. I mean, how many times have you said to me, when are you having Biden on the show? And I'd say, you tell me. I haven't had Biden on Meet the Press since June of 2020, 4 years ago. An interview when he was in his basement. Hasn't done a Sunday show since. They were not putting him out for years. These guys knew all along. Think about everything that they have said, and not just these guys, but all the other ones that we've talked about. Everything that these people have said, telling us something 180 degrees different than what we all knew. Martin says, well, he stayed in the proverbial basement well after 2020. For those of us who have talked about it and covered it, the idea there was some grand media cover-up is just laughable, because it was a simmering, again, that term, simmering conversation that was written about. We talked about it, but yeah, you're right. What stopped it from becoming more of a conversation was Democrat leaders, much like GOP leaders. What in the hell? Nobody kept this from becoming a conversation. Nobody. This conversation goes back and forth with these guys expressing their shock and appall, but at the same time saying, well, you know, we knew this all along. This was going to happen. Neither one of these guys says, for example, I couldn't report this publicly because these conversations were off the record, but my sources have now allowed me to go public. In other words, they've always had permission. It's not like, you know, the cat's out of the bag and these guys say, yeah, you go ahead and talk about that. Doesn't matter now. Didn't matter then. They could have said this stuff then. They sat on this. They sat on it for years. In their own words, they said that they've known about this for years. And they not only hid it from us, they said nothing as their colleagues attacked anyone who dared to bring up the idea that Joe Biden was having problems. They all knew. Every one of them knew. But they don't want us to think about that. Okay? They all knew, all of them, and they said nothing. These two guys we're talking about right here, this is just an exemplar. There, we could switch these names out with who knows how many establishment journalists out there in the world carrying water for the Biden administration and the Marxist left. They all knew, all of them knew, every single one of them said nothing. Nothing. Why? Because it's not about what's doing best for the country or doing what's best for the American people. When you talk about the corporate media, these guys, the establishment media that we're talking about here, it all comes down to one thing, and that is doing what's best for Democrats. When covering up, and that's what it is, that's all this is, when covering up Biden's mental decline and the Democrat Party's concern about that decline, when that helped Democrats, Jonathan Martin and Chuck Todd and all the rest were aware of this open secret. They not only covered it up, they said nothing, as people who told the truth were attacked by the White House and the billion-dollar media outlets as liars, as ageists, as cheap fakers. But now the things have changed, and getting rid of Joe Biden is what's best for the Democratic Party. Now the truth can be told. This conversation that I just related to you, and I paraphrased it, and I apologize because I don't normally do that, demonstrates so clearly that these guys are so corrupt, they are so broken, and they are so insulated that they're not even aware, they're not even... They don't have enough about them to grasp what they sound like in this back and forth on the Todd cast. Oh my God. Sound like a couple of mob guys on an FBI wiretap bragging about their crimes. They knew. They all knew. Every single one of them knew. And they said nothing. Not dead air. I'm still here just thinking about all this. It's gotten to the point now, and again, you know, staffers inside the White House, people that are supposedly close to the Biden inner circle, are now starting to run polls with Trump versus Harris. And people are starting to leak these things out. The campaign is demoralized. The big question is now, who do they think is capable of convincing him to drop? Sorry about that. Had to clear my throat. So he does a press conference. They're talking about it on Breitbart. And apparently, let me check this out. Hold on. Okay, he's going to hold a press conference. Apparently, somewhere there, instead of referencing Vice President Harris, he said Vice President Trump. And I'm not exactly sure where that's at. And I can't get to it right now because we're on the damn radio. Anyway, what you would expect, okay? The presser was what you expect. They're going to put as positive a spin on it as they can. We're going to hope for a little bit better lighting this time. Not dead air, man. I'm just thinking about it. Tell you what, we're going to take a little break while I think about this and see if I've got anything else I feel like talking about. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to The Conservative's Perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio Network. We will be back sometime. Let me find something to listen to here, man. What the world? Yeah, we'll be back right after this.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by God, you know the thing.
The Me Too movement has forced a cultural reckoning around the issue of sexual violence and harassment against women in America.
No man has a right to raise a hand to a woman in anger. And so we have to just change the culture, period, and keep punching at it and punching at it and punching at it.
Very poor choice of words.
We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
And why should the voters believe that you can win the national election?
I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
I got your work straight, Jack. Look, here's the deal.
I'm not voting for you.
Well, I knew you weren't, man. You think I thought you'd stand up and vote for you? You're too old to vote for me.
I'm not sedentary. I get up and no, let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together here, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take on a T-shirt.
But the Taoiseach knows a lot about it. His mom lived in Long Island for 10 years or so. God rest her soul. And your mom's still alive as your dad passed. God bless her soul. I got to get this straight.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did. And back in those days, you see how things have changed. One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain.
Bad boys.
And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head. So I walked out with the chain.
Too.
And I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. And to get hot, I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look
Christ.
At it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
There, JoJo.
I mean, whatever happened to that old conservative discipline about paying for what you spend? I'm up for re-election this year, and I'm going to remind everybody what I did at home, which is going to cost me politically. When I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well. I meant Medicare and Medicaid. I meant veterans benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government. And I not only tried it once, I tried it twice, I tried it a third time, and I tried it a fourth time.
And thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper, and thank you, Chancellor.
We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
Paul Ryan was correct when he did the tax code. What's the first thing he decided we had to go after?
Social Security and Medicare.
Now, we need to do something about Social Security and Medicare. That's the only.
Okay, enough. You get the idea. Look, I have got hours of that crap. And you know what? Here's the thing. That clip that I just played, in a way, makes Joe sound like he was a little bit together. He's a little more together then than he is now. I mean, it's still dumb stuff. Don't get me wrong. It's still dumb stuff from a dumb guy. And all these things that everyone talks about, all these different possibilities, all these different equations, all these different formulas or steps that are going to be necessary to get Joe out of there. Uh, unless Joe steps down, unless somebody can get to him and convince him to stop this, none of it matters. None of it matters. And I guess that negotiating process is still going on. Like I said, he's not taking calls from the Obamas. I'm sure he's not taking any calls from Clintons or any of their surrogates right now. And if they've got Hunter attending staff meetings, I'm not saying he's attending all of them, but if they've got Hunter, if they're, you know, Hunter's in there attending staff meetings, they're going to try and control this thing to the very end. Hunter thinks, I don't know what he thinks. I guess Joe will be the avatar for his presidency. I don't know. But here's the thing, and this is, and I think we can pick up a lot from this. Joe is a family guy. He always has been. He's a crook, but he's loyal to his family, and he's put them in positions to make a lot of money along with himself. Those are the people he's going to keep closest to him. Hunter, the daughter, the one he used to, the chick he used to shower with. Ashley, Hunter and Ashley, and then Jill, of course, and his sister Valerie, and Ron Klain, his chief of staff. That's it. That's what's happening in the Biden bunker. And I can tell you that it is more than a safe bet that none of those people, Ashley Biden, Hunter Biden, Jill Biden, Valerie, are going to be receptive to the idea of Joe stepping down. How cruel is it? Seriously, how vicious and savagely cruel is it? And at the same time, how poetically just it is. Fifty years of using the American people and their tax dollars to enrich himself and his family. No regard, no respect, no consideration. Joe Biden looked at the American people and saw dollar signs. Joe Biden looked at his time in Washington, D.C. as a money machine. He was in the business of getting money, and business was good. Business was booming. Still is. And his family, his wife, his son and daughter, his sister, have all become seduced and addicted to the perks, to the status, to Air Force One, to the White House, to the fancy dress balls, to all the attention. And they can't let go of it. It's like Hunter's hooked on a rock, man. It's a drug to them. It's their cocaine. Everybody knew. All these people that the American citizen is supposed to look to and trust for objective, impartial, truthful information about what's going on in the country, they didn't get it. CBS? No. ABC? No. NBC? No. Public broadcasting? Absolutely not. MSNBC? Oh, no. Fox? Zip. CNN? Headline news. The LA Times, New York Times. Good these people ran the narrative. They ran the game. They knew all along. And everything that they tell us now that they say they had no idea about, well, that's bullshit, man. You know what it is. They knew all along. And now they're going to be all upset about it, and they're going to report, and I'm using my air fingers, quote, report and turn on Joe Biden, because now it's in the interests of the Democrat Party to turn on Joe Biden. It wasn't in their interests when he was running for president. He was going to be the guy. Things have changed, and they don't want him as the guy anymore. But Joe still thinks he is the guy. He's the guy that beat Medicare, for crying out loud. How could he not win? Damn. He beat Trump with 81 million votes. He beat Trump with more votes than Barack Obama got. Joe thinks he's mandated to do this. Mandated from heaven. It is his destiny, his manifest destiny. And he thinks he can do it. They knew all along. These guys have zero credibility. I don't know that they can ever get it back. Legitimate press in this country, free press, dead. Dead. Guys like Gary Binford, guys like Don Newen and Donna Fiducia, guys like Mojo, 5-0 Radio. Beyond that, forget it. Forget it. And I tell you what, I think we've got a few minutes left, but I'm going to knock off early this evening. Been a long day. But I did want to talk about this stuff, and we should be heard. They've been doing some stuff on the website at Mojo 5-0 Radio. It's been going under some altercations. No, excuse me, alterations. Anyway, we're still listed on the marquee, so but they have they're doing a different route, and I'll get some more information on where you can find the show. However, we will be broadcasting a copy of it here Sunday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, that's just a recorded version I'm uploading of Sunday's show for Mojo 5-0 Radio. Thank you guys very much for the opportunity to hang out with you. We will be back Monday taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. Take good care of yourselves. We'll see you then.
UTIs are the worst. I've been there. One year, I had 8 UTIs. If you get UTIs, then you understand how awful the cycle can be. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products, they just never worked for me. I was desperate for a way to be proactive. It was hard on me and on my husband.
It was tough to see her in pain, and I wanted to help.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Spencer.
With Spencer's background in biochemistry
and our shared frustration when it came to UTIs, we were inspired to start Eucora.
At Eucora, we make innovative urinary tract supplements and UTI relief products. Our effective urinary tract supplements finally give you a way to be proactive.
Feel like you've tried everything? We get it. We have a money-back guarantee so you can try risk-free. If you're not happy, you'll get a full refund.
We're on a mission to help women get their lives back. Ready to join them?
Get 30% off Eucora when you go to eucora.com/audio. That's UQORA.com/audio.